You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are. We now present the Catechism Hour, hosted by Brother Justin Bunyan.
Welcome to the Catechism Hour with me, Brother Justin Bunyan of the Heralds of the Gospel. Today we are continuing our journey of Lent. Last week we looked at why Ash Wednesday? Why these ashes? Why are we doing any of these things? What are we doing? And we looked at several other facets that had to do with that. Today I have in studio Brother Jose Danton. He's going to continue our conversation on Lent, the Lenten themes, and how we're going to involve it all. Again, one of the greatest ways of learning is repetition. So some items might be repeated from what we spoke about last week, but again, it's always useful. Underline those important elements so that we ourselves can make sure those points are clear. So we'd like to welcome Brother Jose, who usually is on the other side of the glass, but today he is with us, and let's continue with the idea. So, Brother Jose, let's start off.
Thank you very much for having me on the show here. It's a great privilege to be able to talk to you, and Lent is something very, very interesting for us all. The origins of Lent is very interesting. It goes back into the 4th century monks. Now, during the 4th century, 3rd century, everyone had their own penitential practices of fasting and all that. But it wasn't until the 4th century some monks decided to fast together in community. And that's where everything kind of started. During the early Middle Ages, this practice became more involved across Europe, especially amongst the monasteries. But it was not until actually during the late Middle Ages that the general people of Europe actually practiced what we know as Lent today. So it's something very interesting to consider what Lent is. Now, when we come to Lent, we usually think of not eating meat on Fridays, and a little something, we give up something small like chocolates or sweets. But during the Middle Ages, they actually give up way more. First thing to consider is that it was already normal not to eat meat on Fridays. Now, during Lent, the people of Europe will actually not eat meat at all during the whole 40 days of Lent. They'll not eat any milk or eggs. And even some rites, for example, the Melkite rite and the Greek rite, they'll not even eat fish or olive oil. Now, to us, it may seem a bit radical, these ideas, extreme, but we must understand that these people did these things for certain reasons. For example, the Melkites, they also excluded milk products, eggs, olive oil, and even fish. Why? Because in the area where the Melkites come from, which is Lebanon, and they even extend as far to Jordan, Syria, even modern today, cows weren't that common in that area. So part of the diets of the Melkites were fish. So if you were going to start a fast with taking out cows and pigs from your menu, well, it wasn't so much of a penance. So they even excluded fish. And also butter was kind of hard to keep in that area. So that's another reason why they took out olive oil from their diet. Now, Lent also kind of changed and to the different areas according to the conditions. For example, in some northern countries, for example, some parts of Ireland, Norway, and areas close to the Arctic, the people were allowed to eat beaver tails. The argument that was used for this was that beavers, living most of the time in the water, weren't actually mammals. They were closer to fish. That was according to medieval logic. And even in parts of Michigan, you're allowed to eat muskrat. The reason is also because during the 18th century, Father Gabriel Richards' parishioners had a hard time finding protein to insert into their diet. So the Diocese of Michigan allowed the fur trappers, Catholics of course, to be able to eat muskrat. Again, they used the same arguments where muskrats, living most of the time in water, were closer to fish than they were to mammals. But again, these were practices that were adopted by the Catholic Church in order to help the lay people, the faithful, in order to truly practice Lent. Another reason why we have Lent is for the following reasons. Now, Lent is usually practiced right at the beginning of springtime, which is actually where the word Lent comes from. Lent comes from the old Germanic word, which means spring. Now, during this time, the crops weren't yet planted yet. And if they were, of course, they weren't ready yet. And their livestock were still growing. I mean, they had some new calves in the stables. The ewes were already starting to eat, but they were ready to be killed and eaten. And all the supplies they had from last year were also coming to an end. So it was also quite reasonable to have some type of shortage, rationing, during this time period. Now, also, one of the fascinating things about Lent is this. Due to the fact that Lent is a time where there's a shortage of a fasting of food, it also gave rise to many interesting cultures and feasts that we have until today, such as Carnival, the Polish Paschki, and many other different things. So, Carnival, actually it was interesting. They're still debating where it comes from, the word Carnival, but most likely Carnival comes from the Latin word carnem levare, or carne levarium, which means to take away or to remove meat. This was the time right before Lent where all types of meat products were eaten and great festivals happened in order to take away the temptation people will have during Lent. And slowly and surely, these carnivals lasted for weeks. I mean, became great parties, unfortunately, afterwards. And carnivals usually in Hispanic southern countries, for example, Italy, South America, Brazil, and even India. The English countries have their famous Fat Tuesday, where they take out all of their fatty things, for example, butter, meats, and they'll have it with pancakes. So these different things came out because of Lent.
It's been fascinating. Some of the points that are interesting to note here. Firstly, carnevale, to remove meat. Now, that point there you spoke about is very interesting because animals were wealth, and to kill an animal was considered a great financial burden on the family. We can see that in 18th and 16th century stories, what have you, when a child sells off the cow. It's a very great indicator that the family's lost all its wealth. But eggs and butter were usually cheap because they didn't destroy of the animal, right? We didn't die. So the fact that they weren't able to eat butter, that would be a fast because everything was made with butter. Everything was made with eggs. Eggs were a thing that was all over the place in a medieval home. But in the North Country, for example, you had brought up concerning the Levant, where they didn't have many cows or pigs. Well, pigs they had more often, but because of the Islamic influence, they weren't so well looked upon. But I wonder about Northern Europe, because places like Sweden and Norway and the Baltic coasts, where they eat a lot of fish, and they don't tend to have a lot of cattle because of the area doesn't allow for much in that way. That would be an interesting thing to look into, because those areas there, you imagine that cows, they might actually have beef once a year, maybe for Easter itself, but commonly they probably didn't eat much of it. Oxen they probably used for work, but they probably didn't eat of it. But fish was common. So for them to have a day of fast and abstinence containing fish wasn't much of a fast. It was like common life. We're going to have some more, I don't know, herring or what have you. The idea about the beaver, that is really amazing. I mean, as Canadians, that would be a terrible thing. We'd have to have an association of war amps for our beavers. All these Irish running around chopping off the tails of beavers, chomping on beavers, or those who live in Ottawa eating beaver tails would take on a different significance, I believe. So we need to look at these elements of Lent to a different perspective. 40 days, you know, days in which our Lord goes to the Mount of Temptation. The Mount of Temptation is just outside of Jericho. It's these hills above. Now, one point to look at with that is that those hills are up high, but Jericho is over 600 meters below sea level. Right? So it's really far down. And you can imagine the elements that our Lord went through. He had in his humanity, right? He grew up in Galilee. The Rift Valley, he was on the wrong side of the Rift Valley. So the Rift Valley wouldn't have affected him. He was more or less at sea level. And now he is going through this tremendous element of penance in his preparation for his trip and his ministry that he's going to do. And at the end of those days, he is tempted by the great accuser, Satan himself, which gives the characteristic temptations that were first shown to the first Adam, who fell to them, the idea of in the angels that followed Lucifer. And this man, who, of course, Satan had no idea who he was, does not fall to his temptation. He merely fights against it and shows him what truly is the call of man. Lent also has that element to it, which is of new life. And if you were mentioning that element of new life, saying that new life would be something which the crops are coming anew. And I was reading one paper once on cultural appropriation, and it had this point saying, it's terrible that the Christian festivals are all matched up with the Western or Northern Hemisphere. Because the Northern Hemisphere, that's, for us, it is the end of summer and the beginning of spring. While in the Southern Hemisphere, it is the end of the season. It's the end of summer, the beginning of fall. It matters how far down you are in the Southern Hemisphere, but it can be rather cold when Easter comes. Unless you live in Canada, where we're not certain what season we're living in presently, and it seems the greatest part of our winter is going to hit us in spring. But this element here is very important. New beginnings, you know, new life, the image that we have. I'm not sure if you're going to talk about the image of the egg or of the rabbit, which are Christian images, which for some bizarre reason our North American culture has somehow acquired and put them together, where we have bunnies looking for eggs, which makes absolutely no sense. But the element of new life, right? The nature which begins Lent in a very dark and very dreary early spring element blossoms forth into spring and later into fall, into summer. And hopefully our spiritual lives fall into that same manner. I liked another point you talked about, which was the Levant. I mean, we don't talk enough about the Eastern Church. I know that, for example, Lent, I'm not sure if you're going to talk about the Ukrainian element, the Greek Church and their Lent. They have two Lents. They have a lesser Lent and the Great Lent. But their Lent is radical. It's a radical period. It makes us Latins look very, very meek and humble, or very sad, very weak. We had spoken about this last week about ours, talking about the value of each ecclesiastical reality and how they reflected the way in which they go to. I'm hoping that you'll talk a little bit about the Polish element, the Pasch. They have their their Fat Tuesday a week before on a Thursday, where they make these fabulous donuts filled with, well, I guess, whatever is left in the kitchen. And they serve them up, and they're one of the characteristic cultural points that Poland has. So there's a lot of different interesting things, and I hope you're going to address some of them. Needless to say, I do like muskrats, and I would not like to eat them. That would not be interesting. So I'll pass it back to you, Brother Jose, if you could further to address some of our issues there.
Of course we can address those issues. Poland has, as you mentioned, they have their paszkis, and as you also said, paszkis are these donuts that they make, and they fill it up with whatever they have. It's one of those Fat Tuesday snacks where they get rid of everything they have in their cupboards and have this last feast right before Lent. And many of the Eastern rites continue this tradition. The reason is when the Latin Church of the West changed their customs, the Eastern churches decided to remain with them. And they remain with these customs even till the present day. Now, the reason why some of them take away oil and even fish is that, like you said, the period of Lent is a time of penance, of time to fast like our Lord Jesus Christ, to look at oneself and change oneself, and to suffer for Christ, to suffer for the reparation of our sins. In some countries like Lebanon, Syria, where they don't have butter, oil is a very tasty replacement for that. And olive oil, fish also was very tasty to many people of the East. And so naturally, they also will take away that from their diets. And as these people will get closer to Lent, during Holy Week, they will even go into a harsher regime. And when I mean harsh, I mean harsh. They shorten from 3 meals a day, which is natural. The first 2 meals or 2 of your meals were half of the normal. When being normal, they'll shorten that to just 1 meal a day, consisting only of water, bread, and hunger. That's all you had, basically. There's, of course, some other things you're allowed to have, like some certain spices. But it was very, very harsh. But all of this was for the reparation of your sins, for an internal conversion, and for you to be closer to Christ. Springtime was coming, so it was time to change, time to renew yourself. Now, the church didn't make it completely hard. Sundays, you were dispensed from fasting. The reason for this was that Sunday was the day you commemorated the resurrection of our Lord, the day when our Lord resurrected from the dead, triumph over evil. So they reasoned that since Sunday is such a special day where you celebrate such an important thing, there's no need to do any fasting or abstinence on that day. So Sundays, you're allowed to eat butter, you're allowed to eat eggs, you're allowed to eat meats and all that. But the rest of the time, there was abstinence and penance. Now also during these times, there was also preparation. You mentioned about the egg, and one thing that came into mind are the Ukrainian Easter eggs. I remember when I was in grade 5, we had a Ukrainian teacher. And during the period of Lent, she allowed us for our class to do Easter eggs. Now, the reason was this, that the Easter eggs were collected. Of course, you would collect your eggs, whatever eggs your chickens produce, and you couldn't eat them. So what the Ukrainians started doing is they'll start painting them. And it was very interesting because you had different colored dyes, and with wax, you would cover parts and then bathe them in the dyes, and they would come out really colorful eggs. Why? Because also in the midst of Lent, there was a time where of hope that there is a time at the other side, Christ will resurrect, and Christ will come and triumph over our sins, triumph over our difficulties. That's why we have Laetatis Sunday. And one interesting custom in England, actually, during Laetatis Sunday, which is the fourth week of Lent, all students will go back to their mother parishes in order to thank God for the fact that they were able to be born in order to offer their lives to Christ, to give themselves to Christ, to have a moment to glorify Christ. And all these interesting traditions came from the fact of Lent. Another interesting, I was researching fact about Lent during Holy Week was that during the Easter Triduum, which is Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, there are no bells being sound, not even the church bells. And so you had this one interesting tradition in Croatia and Slovakia where they will tell the kids that on those 3 days, the reason why the church bells will not sound is because they went and flew away to Rome. They'll fly to Rome. Why? To go to confession. So this idea of changing oneself, that such a radical change is needed that even the bells themselves need to confess. It was a way to explain to the kids Lent. Lent is a time of changing of oneself. So they'll send these kids to beat these two sticks together in order to replace the bells. And all the kids, of course, naturally, they'll be waiting for the bells to come back during Easter, during Holy Saturday, the time when Christ was resurrected. And many beautiful customs, many beautiful customs. In the Philippines also, they have another radical version where they will even flagellate themselves and have even real crucifixions. They'll get, there is this part of the Philippines where they practice a custom where people with steel whips with steel rods, they'll be flagellated and they'll be crucified, even hung upon the cross publicly. Now, of course, they control everything in order to make sure people don't die. And as far as I don't, hopefully no one died. But they would do this, why? Because it was a sense of change, a sense of conversion, a sense of changing oneself. Another interesting custom come from Croatia, once again of cleaning, was that during Holy Thursday, the Croatians would actually clean their chimneys. Why would they clean their chimneys? Well, in order the reason is they'll prepare themselves for Easter. It's a weird custom, I guess. It's a very practical custom. You have your chimney always cleaned every once a year. But once again, it comes back to this main point of changing of oneself, of new life coming back, of new awakening. The Polish have another tradition, which is the beating of Judas. It happens during Wednesday. So what they'll do, the Polish will make this fake person and they'll call him Judas. And so they'll have time. They'll stuff him with a bunch of things, probably hay, some needless materials. I believe it's done on Wednesday of Holy Week. And what they'll do is they'll bring this fake doll all the way up to the top of a steeple of the church. And very nicely, they will throw him off the steeple until it hits the ground. And the people will get very, very enthused at that point. Why? Because then the special part begins. What was the special part? Well, probably the Polish quarter actually come from this. I wouldn't doubt that. So they'll get this fake Judas that was already beaten up from his fall on the ground. And all the people of the village will come and they'll beat him up. They'll drag him around all around town. So they'll tie him up to this horse, or they'll just drag him by hand. And they drag him they'll drag him over the roads. They'll get sticks, beat him up as much as possible, give him kicks, punches. Then they'll do it again and again. And I guess once they're tired, well, they'll just simply deposit him in some nearby river or pond. It was actually quite funny. But once again, it's this idea of, well, though it probably is not the best example, but idea of getting rid of all the evil, all the sins, all the evil tendencies we have in oneself. Another custom that helps them focus time of change, many traditions have it, is they'll have many plays, many representations of the Passion of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the most famous is Spain. In Spain, they'll have this whole week where there will be confraternities from across the country will have these great processions, and many people will join these processions. So much so, it's a tourist attraction even some spots. And they'll have these processions of different images of the Passion of Lord Jesus Christ. One beautiful one is the suffering lady, suffering mother, Mater Dolorosa, where they have our Lord Jesus Christ in agony, carrying the cross in the front. Behind him is our Lady. And in between the two, many candles. Why? These candles, the Spanish say, is to prevent Our Lady seeing our Lord Jesus Christ suffer so much, to comfort her a bit, to be able to help her. And these statues aren't small statues. No, they're humongous statues. You will need about 16 people to carry one of these statues. And these confraternities, it's for them, the people who hold these statues, it's an amazing privilege for them to hold it. They will train for the whole year. One person who went there commented that just like for the people here in North America, every kid wants to be a superhero. Every kid wants to be a Batman, a Superman, a Flash or something like that. The kids in Seville, where is one of the biggest, they have the biggest processions in all of Spain. For them, their dream, their superheroes, are to carry the statues of Lent. And they dream of those statues. And the old men who can't carry the statues anymore, when they see the processions pass by, it's not uncommon for tears to run down their eyes. Tears of joy and sadness. Joy, because they see this lovely procession passing by. And sadness, because they're no longer able to carry that statue. Something interesting for us, where we have a tendency of thinking of oneself, and we get many of our personal things, work, studies, probably other friendships, we put them in the way of Christ, in way of these Lenten commitments, Lenten celebrations, Lenten activities such as Ash Wednesday, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, the praying of the Holy, the Via Crucis, the Stations of the Cross. These beautiful traditions that sometimes, unfortunately, we skip just for simple things. It's something that we can examine. What do we have as our priorities? Do we have Christ? Do we have God? Do we have our spiritual salvation? Or do we have our little problems, our little life? We need to rest more for tomorrow's work. I'm too busy at the moment. Work's hard. My children need this. My children need that. My grandparents are too old to be able to do this. So these are some of the many traditions people came up with in order to help them realize, in order to help them change in Lent.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Brother Jose, about all you've given us today. We're going to go into our break, and when we come back, we'll continue on this theme. May God bless you. Thank you.
You are listening to the Catechism Hour. Here on Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice, wherever you are. To contact us, you can tweet us at Radio Maria Can or email catechismhour@radiomaria.ca.
Welcome back. We're looking at Lent and its various traditions throughout the world, in places as far away as Lebanon, Syria, Ireland, the north of Europe, South and Central America. And Brother Jose is going to continue to expound upon these ideas. Before we went to our break, we were looking at the famous Holy Week of Seville, in which they carry those huge images of Our Lord and Our Lady with beautiful candles. You know, I never knew that element, that it was to help Our Lady, to give strength to Our Lady, to block her vision of the pain that Our Lord Jesus Christ was going through at those moments. But, you know, it's fascinating. But Lent, in our North American context, is also very poor. But this is a moment for us to kind of enrich it, to find more beauty. Unfortunately, CNN will have the Holy Week in the Philippines, and it will show it as a sign of craziness and of fanaticism. But it's showing the faith of the people, a people who are the only, you know, predominantly Christian people in all of the of Yellow Asia. So it's something to ask for to keep in mind. So I think we're going to continue now into delving into other traditions throughout the European basin, but also digging in a little bit deeper.
Thank you very much. As we've seen before, many countries, in order to help them think about the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, to remember the passion, to remember how much our Lord Jesus Christ suffered for each of us, and we always must remember, spiritual fathers say, that when Christ suffered, Christ did not suffer for a group of people, for the whole world. He suffered individually for each of us, remembering each of us by name, by how we are, by our defects. Why? Because of the great love he had for us. He gave up everything. He was God. He didn't have to suffer. He didn't have to feel cold. He did not have to feel pain. He did not have to feel abandonment. But he went through those torments. Why? Because he loved us. He wanted to show us an example for us. He wanted to give himself entirely for us. And it's a moment for us to do the same. And a couple of countries throughout the world, they do this. They contemplate this and they remember this through plays, through processions. There's this one fact that's actually I found very beautiful in Germany, in the Bavarian, a town in the Bavarian Alps. It has a very difficult name, Oberammergau. Sorry for those who are German and who know this town. But in this little village, they have every 10 years a famous representation of the Passion of the Christ, the next one being in 2020. And this tradition goes back until 1633. The reason for this is that now, the medicine in 1683 wasn't as advanced as we have now, and it wasn't uncommon. Random plagues would pop up and devastate whole towns and cities. And this town in the Bavarian Alps was being ravaged by one of these plagues. So the people of Germany, of this town, decided to make a promise to our Lord that if they were saved from this plague, they promised to do a representation of the Passion of Christ every so often years in remembrance of God saving them from the plague. And when they made the promise, shortly afterwards, the plague ended in that town. And of course, these people kept their promise. And ever since that time, they kept doing that custom of representing the plague of Christ. And it's something even world famous worldwide. And not just this town, but many towns in Germany, we do this reenactment of the Passion of Christ for the sake of remembering that time, remembering of how Christ saved them. It's a kind of a small coincidence where Christ, they do the Passion play, and the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ is how Christ saved them from sin. And they did this play because Christ saved them from the plague. It's interesting how God is always in history helping his people, saving his people. Now, during Holy Week, there are many other traditions that happen also in many parts of Europe. Germany has another one, which they have of a day, which is called, I believe, Green Tuesday, which is also during Holy Week, where they eat only green things. So they eat mostly spinach and vegetables. There, one person said the probably reason for this is because in German, green is close to grief. So I have that tradition, and I guess spinach wasn't loved much at that time by those Germans. Another beautiful tradition, which I find, was some traditions they have in Malta. In Malta, they have this tradition which is called Spy Wednesday or Drum Wednesday. Now, it's called Spy Wednesday. Why? Because on that they say that on that day was the day when Judas betrayed our Lord Jesus Christ. He actually, the liturgy has that in that on the liturgy of Wednesday, I believe, has that, where Judas goes to the Sanhedrin, to the Pharisees, to the Sadducees, and asks them how much were they willing to give to betray our Lord Jesus Christ. It was the ultimate betrayal of Judas, the worst type of betrayal possible. The Pharisees offered 32 silver coins. Now you must imagine, must take into account that at that time, 32 silver coins was the money needed to buy a slave. Now, Judas betrayed our Lord Jesus Christ for 32 silver coins for a price of a slave. Our Lord, who he saw do many miracles, our Lord, who he must have believed at one point to be the Messiah, our Lord, who gave him special instruction, who set him apart from other people, who cared for him so much, gave him so many gifts, and he sold him for the price of a slave. During that time, a slave was worth nothing. A slave was a personal object. If you don't like him, you'll dispose of him as you'll dispose of something else. If you have a tool that does not work, you throw him into the garbage. If you have a slave that wasn't doing his job, well, you just kind of killed him. In southern Italy, during the time of the Roman Empire, the name that was used to refer to a slave was the speaking tool. So, in order for Judas to sell our Lord Jesus Christ for 32 silver coins was a harrowing fact, a horrible fact. So, for the people of Malta, the silence of the bells, the silence of many things, happened on Wednesday. And on that day, many, many children will go to the church and they'll start banging their hands on the chairs, making this drum sound to represent thunder. Now, why is thunder? Normally, Easter Triduum, the first part, Holy Thursday and Good Friday, they call it Tenebrae Mass, which is the Mass of Darkness. Why? Because the Mass our Lord Jesus Christ died. He was buried, and he was not on the earth for 3 days. So it's a time of darkness for the world. And so thunder was a sign that the dark clouds were coming around and covering the earth. So the children would go to the church and bang the chairs, representing thunder was coming from the horizon. It was later called Drum Wednesday. For the reason is afterwards they would place the chairs with drums. And even until today, they have these processions with fifes and drums and bugles every once in the corner, marking a certain position. I tried to look up about why they had fifes and drums and bugles every once in a while. It seems like during the 18th or 17th century, the people of Malta, since they were under the diocese of Sicily, they had the custom of doing processions. And so in order to accompany something with the processions, they first acquired two fifes and two drums. Now, fifes and drums were military instruments. They were military, and so they must have easily had those items available, since Malta, for the longest of times, was a military base. Many peoples and nations fought over Malta ever since, from the time of 1283, the Aragonese fought against the Sicilian kingdoms for the control of Malta. Afterwards, you had the Ottoman Empire trying to control Malta. You had the Battle of Napoleon Bonaparte, the French Revolution against the English for the fight of Malta. And even to recent modern history, one of the biggest battles of the Second World War was the Battle of Malta, the Siege of Malta, where the Luftwaffe sent many planes, hundreds of planes, in order to neutralize Malta. Why? Because the English used Malta as an air base to sink German convoys that are heading over to Africa to reinforce them. Malta was so important to the English that one English general of Africa said that if they had a choice between abandoning Egypt and Malta, they will abandon Egypt over Malta. So you see, Malta had a very big military significance. And actually, the people of Malta only had military instruments. So they acquired the drums to replace the chairs. And they acquired a fife too. Also, a fife, for those who don't know, sorry to say, it's a military flute. So they have fife and drum in order to accompany them in their processions. And afterwards, they added a bugle also at every corner, at some corners, in order to accompany this beautiful procession. Now, all of these processions, all of these ideas, all of these things were brought in order to remember the Passion of Christ. Another interesting tradition comes from England. I'm not sure if you heard of hot cross buns. It's English bread, and hot cross buns is usually was made around Holy Week. And the idea of hot cross buns was to remind children of the cross, of the sufferings of Christ. Another tradition comes from Bermuda, where they will fly kites on the day of near Holy Week. Why? Because it was a windy day, and it will represent the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ into heaven. It was a bit off, I guess, the some of the periods, but also another tradition that came from Lent. Guatemala and some Southern American countries also has another beautiful tradition where they'll make these beautiful carpets usually made of flowers, branches, leaves, and other decorations where the Blessed Sacrament will pass by. This usually was done near Palm Sunday. Why? Because on Palm Sunday, when our Lord Jesus Christ entered Jerusalem, the people of Jerusalem laid their palm trees and laid their cloaks on before our Lord Jesus Christ, so Lord Jesus Christ will walk over it, triumphantly entering Jerusalem. And so the people of these nations, these countries, they continued this tradition by making these beautiful, alfombras, or the translation will be carpets. So they have these beautiful carpets and they'll have a procession of the Holy Blessed Sacrament that'll go through these cities, through these towns, laid out with these beautiful carpets. And each carpet will have a different image sometimes. So one of them will have the image of the Holy Eucharist, another one of Our Lady of Sorrows, probably the Lamb, a cross, the Holy Eucharist also. And sometimes you'll even get little communities, little villages and neighborhoods, and they'll give out these sections and they'll say, okay, organize this part of the procession. You organize this part of the procession. And all of these were in order to, once again, remember of the Passion of Christ, prepare for the suffering and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Another tradition, as we go further east, that I found very beautiful, is Japan. Now, back then, they not only had Lent, but they also had other periods of fasting and penance. There were four common periods throughout the year, and they were called the Ember Days. The Ember Days usually happen four times a year. So in Latin, they will call it Quartorum Tempora. Now, when the Jesuit missionaries arrived in Japan, of course, they also had their time of penance. And so the Japanese, they had a problem where they had to come up with a new dish in order to be able to eat during this time. So the Jesuit missionaries helped them out a bit, and they actually came with this very famous dish nowadays that normally people don't eat during Lent, but it actually comes from Lent, which is the tempura shrimp. Tempura shrimp comes from Quartorum Tempura, which was the food the Japanese Christians will eat during Lent. Another interesting nation, country, that practices Lent is China. Now, the time of penance originally during the ancient Christians were usually reserved only to the catechumens, those who were or preparing to enter into the Catholic Church. Afterwards, naturally, it was taken by all Christians. But the Chinese, still, matter of fact, actually continue this tradition. During the time of Lent is a time of not only abstinence and penance, but also spiritual formation. There are many dioceses that have these special catechism classes in order to learn more of the Catholic faith, and especially designed for those who are entering the Catholic Church. So the many Chinese who are converting will go to the Catholic Church during Lent, and they'll participate during these special classes in order to prepare themselves to be received into the Catholic Church. The Chinese Catholics also, it's a custom for them not only to fast and abstain during Lent, but also to do many spiritual works. So they'll go, they help the poor, they'll give food to the hungry, they help the sick. And many of these traditions, once again, in order to form oneself, in order to prepare oneself, in order to do penance for one's sins. Lent is a fascinating tradition. And during the homily of today, the parish priest, he mentioned that for me, Lent is a time of spiritual stock, where one prepares oneself spiritually for the next year. And every time Lent starts, I think, I go back into last Easter and I look on myself and say, what do I need to fix this time? What do I need to change? What do I need to reorder? Lent's a time where we spiritually help oneself. We look at our sins. It's a time of penance, a time the church has designated in order to help ourselves, form ourselves, and prepare ourselves for coming of heaven. As we know, the Catholic Church has these times of celebration, Christmas time, Easter, joy, celebration. But we must also have a balance, a time of penance, a time of self-sacrifice, a time where instead of receiving, we must also give. We must remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, where he said, those who give little will receive little, and those who give a lot will receive much more. Lent is a beautiful time the Catholic Church set apart in order for us to prepare ourselves, to look into oneself, to cleanse ourselves of the many things. I'd like to thank Brother Justin for having me on the show, and I hope all you who are listening to the show right now learn something new today about Lent.
Thank you, Brother Jose. It's very enlightening, some of those stories, particularly the one about Japanese tempura. Now, we know tempura is used on almost everything. It's probably one of the most sought-for batters for fish. Everyone likes tempura. No one can say they don't like tempura. But knowing that it has a Christian link makes it oh so more delectable. So on Ash Wednesday or on Good Friday, and you're having fish, or having fish and chips, hopefully your oil that you're cooking it in is not meat-based, but anyway, most of it isn't anymore. Think about the early Christians, those who were being hung on crosses and nailed to them because of their belief in our Lord Jesus Christ. There's our link. That's what makes us Catholic. What makes us Catholic is this universality, this element that anywhere in the world, our fellow Catholics have suffered, have believed, and have given their blood. Another point that I liked about your talk was the point about giving and receiving. We live in a very millennial society. Everyone knows about the millennials. Everyone complains about them. But the millennial has that huge issue, which is giving. They don't want to give. They want to take. They want to receive. You hear this actually in church a lot, and it's usually looked upon in a positive sense, which is, I am being fed. I want to be fed. The problem with it is that to be fed is good, but what are you doing with it? If you are just sitting on the side and being fed, you are becoming a spiritual glutton. Spiritual gluttony is wrong. We're called to be people who do, who act, who become fingers of God in this world. So that calls us to be so much more. So with that said, I'd like to wish everyone a very blessed week, particularly those in their Lenten practices. And we're accompanying our Lord in his journey through Jericho up in those mountains where Lucifer comes to tempt him. We're asking in a special way that we too will be with the Lord and resurrect with him on Easter Sunday. May God bless you all.
You've been listening to the Catechism Hour, hosted by Brother Justin Bunyan, here on Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.